The Catholic Agency to Support Evangelization, or CASE as it's known, held a one-day symposium on the theme of faith and culture on the 5th of October 2009. Here's part two of Bishop Paul Hendrick's introduction.
Modernity also offers us an alternative version of salvation, where we are to seek our ultimate happiness in this worldly terms. Again, the challenge is to make this explicit in order that we can dialogue with it in some way. Take something as simple and pervasive as advertising. The advertisers aren't, as far as I know, intending to promote what you might call a secular gospel. But in a sense, that's what they end up doing when in one way or another they seek to convince us that our lives will be incomplete unless we buy their product. And that's something that is cumulative, that whole ambience of advertising and in our culture. Nothing sinister about it, but it does have that effect, to encourage us to place our trust in material things and what we might call in an old-fashioned phrase, worldly things. It's also a view centred on man, not on God. On the Way to Life, it identifies a shift from a way of understanding the world from being God-centred to being man-centred. And I'm not sure if I entirely go along with that. It's certainly a very interesting topic for discussion. It seems to me that the idea of God was obviously more prominent in the worldview of previous centuries, although I wonder how much impact this made on the thinking of ordinary people most of the time. What I think we can definitely say is that earlier cultures on the whole assumed that the world is simply given, something we have to accept and cannot essentially change. And therefore, in order to be happy, you have to adapt to the world as you find it. I suppose the most obvious example of that is, let's say, a few hundred years ago, if you were the son of a carpenter, take a random example, you were very likely to be a carpenter yourself. If you were born into a certain social class, you were very unlikely to, as it were, advance beyond that. Nowadays, technology offers the prospect, maybe it's illusory, but it offers the prospect of being able to remake the world to suit ourselves. In a postmodern perspective, you might say very simply that we create our own personal world, which I'm not at all sure about, I have to say. In former times, creating a world that is unique to yourself would have been seen as a symptom of insanity. Anyway, a further aspect is the way in which the personal experience of the individual, thank you very much, the personal experience of the individual is seen as sufficient in itself to justify acceptance. This is rather, that's a little more difficult to explain, but your own personal experience is something which is has a validity in itself and does not require any external authority. On the Way to Life calls this the turn to the subject. It says, even within the man-centred understanding, there is a further movement from what we might call objective sources of authority and truth, out there as it were, to those that are subjective. Hence, part of our contemporary culture is the value we give to experience and feeling as modes of validation. If validation is conferred through these subjectivities, then there is no need to defer to an external or higher authority. One aspect of this is seen in the change in attitudes brought about by the impact of the internet. On the Way to Life says, as every member of society has access to information technology within easy and immediate reach, they also have access to sources of authority beyond the traditional institutional channels. For example, Wikipedia rather than Britannica and so on. That's a very simple and obvious example, but many others. Moreover, the whole notion of expert and profession, with its regulation, its values and accountability, is transformed and in many ways circumvented. you might say, authority is democratized. I would just add that in simple terms, your authority is now determined by the number of hits on your website or the popularity of your blog. One effect of this is to discourage the search for or the acceptance of any form of what On the Way to Life calls a meta-narrative, in other words, a big story within which everything else makes sense, like the gospel. You buy into a particular narrative in a particular context without expecting it to be consistent with any other narrative you may work with in some other context. So there's no overall picture that makes sense of the whole of your experience, the whole of your life. Of course, this contrasts very much with the Catholic tradition, in fact the Christian tradition, where, to quote the late Cardinal Hume, there is no question of becoming Catholic à la carte. You have to take the set menu or move to another restaurant. Very memorable way of putting it. This reminds us that although we may dialogue, or we must dialogue, with various elements of contemporary culture, there does come a point where a potential convert does have to accept certain core beliefs, which are, as it were, essential to the package. At the same time, a genuine dialogue can help make it possible for him or her to reach the point where such an acceptance is possible. Despite this proliferation of narratives, there is still a longing for meaning, a quest for personal and group identity. It does seem, though, that the emphasis is on the searching rather than on the possibility of finding a ready-made or, in some sense, objective meaning, such as might be provided by, or is provided by, the gospel. Coming back to On the Way to Life, it says the search for meaning is intensified in modernity as discourses differentiate and multiply. Different languages for different contexts and so on. Education becomes a question of mastering these different languages, but it cannot supply a sense of unity. Nietzsche's claim that God is dead signals the death of meaning in the sense of a unified vision of our world and our place in it. To put it simply, I always like to try and put things simply, contemporary culture has rejected any form of all-encompassing meta-narrative or story, and yet has left us unable to provide any substitute for ourselves. Life is emptied of meaning, except on the level of trivialities. On the Way to Life calls this trivialization of life the burden of ordinariness. It puts it like this, I think quite memorably. It says, truth also becomes domestic, and so life, its tragedy and its comedy, is lived within the ordinary. Although we retain the words for evil and holy, they cease to have any metaphysical depth or touch upon the ontology and purpose of our life. They no longer have a reference in transcendence. The ordinary confines us to the horizons of the street. We inhabit the Queen Vic or walk the length of Coronation Street. The ordinary refuses anything but the domestic narrative. Our so-called heroes become celebrities, as ephemeral and flat as their image on the screen. This reminds me of a story told by a priest who was visiting a primary school. When one child was asked what she'd like to be when she grew up, she replied, a celebrity. In other words, not famous for some great deed or achievement, just famous. And any way of becoming famous will do, however trivial. In contrast with this fascination with celebrity, Christianity is able to find meaning and even wonder in things which are, on the face of it, quite ordinary. G.K. Chesterton, for instance, delighted in persuading his readers to look at familiar situations from a new and a startling point of view. And of course, St. Therese, whose relics are touring the country at the moment, is a famous example of how the simplest acts done out of love and offered to God can help us grow in holiness.
That was part 2 of 3 of Bishop Paul Hendrick's introduction at the Case Symposium on Faith and Culture. Click on part 3, the final part, to continue.